Welcome to the Real Triathlon Podcast. I'm your host, Garrick Lowen, here with Nicholas Chase and Jackson Lund.
And we're back!
Welcome to the Real Triathlon Podcast with actually Real Triathlon members in the flesh and blood here. After we're coming live location-wise from Oceanside, California, where Jackson is the champion of all of us because he was third. He did the best. He's third place. Mark was, I think, between sixth and seventh.
Yeah, sixth or seventh, and then now sixth. So
there were some DQs. We'll get into that. Nicole got stung by a friggin' stingray, of all things, like literally the day before the race, just punctured her scalpel cut, bleeding everywhere. It was tragic. And she was at least a hype girl for us, and she's currently icing that. Lisa hasn't had a healthy race in about 6 years, I feel like.
Yeah, since I was born.
And basically came in and got paid. Eighth place.
8/9. Because of Emma.
Because of some
and Worlds or no?
Yeah.
And I think Worlds.
Okay.
So we'll start from, Mark to me. Mark.
Oh, I got to go first.
Yeah. Talk about your day.
Well, yeah. It was an in-water start. It was a bit too wavy. There was a small craft advisory out there. So they moved everyone to the harbor. So putting 80 guys out in the in-water start was pretty hectic. Got out well though, and there was a breakaway of like 4 or 5, I believe. We lost one when we took a wrong turn. We almost missed the buoy. First onto the bike, so that was nice. A little payday there, and yeah, just got to work on the bike. And
when did Jackson totally blow your legs off?
Jackson, Sam, Lionel all blew my legs off when we hit the biggest hill on the course.
14% at the top.
Yeah, and it was all of that, all straight into my quads. And I actually had to attack because it was just a whole fugazi. I think it's a word. I had to attack and go up the road. I kind of cut Jackson off. He's kind enough to let me go in front of him. And then I bonked at the top and Jackson attacked. Long story short, missed that group.
Sam on attack, trying to get on there. I wasn't trying to drop Mark specifically, just everyone.
But he did, and yeah, I missed that train, and then still was working a lot on the with the chase group, but we were just shedding time. I think at mile, was it 30? It took you how long? 30 miles to make up a minute and a half?
Maybe a little less than that.
And then you ended up 5 minutes at the end ahead of us?
I think it was about five, yeah.
Which really sucks.
They're moving.
Yeah, so not a great day, but not an absolute like terrible day. First race on the felt. My back and hamstrings are feeling it, but I'm excited for the rest of the team. And yeah, that's my kind of summary. I ran my way into seventh, and then got the bonus because of the speeding penalty.
Well, there was a lot of speculation, of course, and predictions, and everyone thought who was going to do stuff, and that didn't really happen that way, but. Race Ranger was supposed to be here, but they had like some software malfunctions, and it would have been nice, I think, to have them. But obviously I think there would have been a lot of infringements because of this, the undulation and accordion effect when these big groups, like there was an official with us the whole time. And like four of us talked after the race and we're like, the officials were not penalizing anybody for being too close when you were further back in the race. And that's kind of standard. And we tried to alleviate that by some questioning in the race brief, but still, same situation. We need Race Ranger to work, and unfortunately, it wasn't this one. But they're going to go to Texas. So yeah, anything else before we move to Nicole?
And I will say on the Race Ranger thing, it was pretty hectic because we don't get a preview of the course. So when I was leading the bike, I was super cautious going in and out of these back alleys.
The roads are shit.
The roads are so bad. I mean, we went through that huge puddle, like five foot.
I was like, yeah. Oh, I might be going over the handlebars here.
Yeah, 5 or 6 feet, 2 meters, Jackson. and I didn't know if I was going to sink, go straight into a pothole because you just couldn't see.
Yeah.
So I think it would have been tough that it was like with the Race Ranger because we all would slinky together on those tight turns.
Yeah, we would at least known how many times we slinky. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. So, yeah, that's my two cents.
Still ran your way. You still beat all those guys on the run that you biked with pretty much.
Yeah. Everyone but Braden. I went out kind of hot. I was 3:10 for the first K. I was like, I'm going to try to make it as far as I can or die trying.
Put some mustard on it.
And then, yeah, so I obviously didn't pace it the best, but I was going for it.
Well, it's the only thing you can do when you got a bunch of talent around you is you got to see whose talent is least. Nicole, how was it being like a spectator? You certainly did an amazing job, and we appreciate, like, you could have taken the route of like, my race is ruined, I can't participate, I'm just gonna stay home and just like eat cookies all day. But
yeah, how was it? Consider that for a second. Yeah, so you said mentioned, I guess, on my stingray. The problem is not so much the laceration, but swelling around my ankle, which learning a lot about marine biology this weekend. But really want the focus to be on my amazing teammates because they really did all the hard work today. And I was just freezing. So I don't know how they did it in the swim. it was colder than last year, I think.
Nicole, is that your story? Yeah. That was creative, Nicole.
Check out the Real Tri Squad Instagram. Nicole took over and crushed it.
Yeah, she crushed the Sherpa life. We appreciate it. Thank you, Nicole. Yeah.
The air temperature was definitely cold.
And the water felt pretty nice, though, I thought.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The water was good. The air temp was 40. The water was like 60, 59 or something. So it worked out good. Mm-hmm. Swim start for the men's race seemed to be fine.
They should have widened that out a bit more, I think.
There was 4 or 5 rows deep, and I went from the right side to the left side, and there were 4 or 5 people who went with me, so then I went back to the right side and then they went back to me.
But it was nuts. Like, if I think I was like in the middle with, like, it was
I must have been near you,
Curry and Langa, and then you were right to my right, and then I passed you, and then all this momentum just carried us. It was like the most relaxed fast start ever. It's a 600 meter send off, so it was nice not to have a turn straight away.
Yeah.
But then it just got nasty with the turns and it got swells and you're going right back into the sun. But you guys still put together a great swim. Jackson still came out in that second pack. It was stellar. How'd it go beyond the swim?
Yeah, I agree with the swim. Same thing. Just, yeah, felt relaxed. And I was hoping I was a little closer, but I kind of knew with the second half how easy it was. I was like, they're probably just clobbering us at this point, which they were. But that's fine. Got out. Good transition-ish. Good enough anyway, and then onto the bike, kind of worked similar to last year. I just like worked pretty hard, but not too hard, because I knew Sam and Lionel were gonna just come on through and we'll end up together anyway. So we did that, and then I worked quite a bit on the like chasing of the front guys. I was on the front for a fair bit, but then once we caught them around the halfway ish and did that huge move over the hill, and I ended up 7th in the group going up the hill, even though I led into the hill, which kind of was unfortunate. So then going over the top, Sam just pounds it, and just he had like 200 plus meters on me as I'm cresting the hill. He just takes off. And then it was a big chase to close those gaps down, and ended up being, and I did, and it was Sam. It was at the Maximilian's, yes. Spurl.
Yeah, he ran.
He was my dark horse pick. Yeah, he led 70.3 Worlds for a little bit.
Yeah, but he was in there, and then Lionel, myself, and Justin Real. And the pace was honest the whole time on the bike. Like, it was never chill. The only easy part was the speed zone, where you get to actually do. And then the run, I didn't know how it would go. I knew I was feeling that bike, but felt pretty good. And I, like, tried to go out with the boys, and I ran with Lionel for a bit. I was right with them shoulder to shoulder for the first, like, mile or so. And then I was like, yeah, this is pretty hard. And then the first uphill, that guy could just crank the uphills.
His foot speed is so fast going uphill. I noticed that as he was coming at me.
Yeah, it's wild. So anyway,
a mile ahead,
he kind of got ahead, and then I ran with Sam for a while, and then he sort of gapped, and I just was trying to like stay close and relevant, and I just didn't quite have the last like 5-6K, but third, still good. The Heligans didn't make up much on me, and it's a good start. I know I can push it a little bit better in St. George, and hopefully like tactically swim a bit better, because you just have to get as far up as you can early on, because you know gaps are going to form. So I got to do that a little bit better.
And realistically, every like 30 seconds will cost you like 30 to 40K of bringing it back with pretty much threshold or right under effort. Like, you, every 10 seconds you give away, you're going to pay for it on the bike. So
yeah,
you got to, the swim is so crucial, especially to race with however many guys showed up. I don't know, maybe it was 70 something guys. And the depth of talent, depth of field, it was crazy. A couple athletes went off course. It was really like windy. It was pretty cold on the backside. And it was just really interesting. This course, I think, is, for me, this course is harder than St. George.
it just always feels hard on the bike. There's no like time. If you're not riding on a rough road, it's a twisty road, or it's got sand all over it, or there's puddles, or it's like uphill, or it's, something's always making it hard to keep up.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't really realize about this course. And like, yeah, I mean, the first, it's showed in the last half, even the last part of the bike is probably the easiest part. And even then, the gaps are just down, and everyone's blown up.
Downhill, headwind ish.
Yeah.
Bumps. One thing that's different, a lot of bumps. One thing that's different here too compared to St. George is they're like just enough where you probably could stay in aero for a lot of these. They're steep, obviously not the like the big one, but at St. George there's like three main ones, and everyone's getting out of aero.
And the downhills are very forgiving.
And the downhills are forgiving, yeah. So the it was a tough course.
There's quite a couple spots at least where you have so much momentum downhill and then you're turning.
Yeah.
Like you're stuck, almost coming to like down to 20 miles an hour, or 30 miles an hour to turn, and you're just losing all your momentum. So it's definitely a sneaky hard bike course. Like say I'm like 205, 40 or something, and like that guy bikes like 157 every time.
Yeah. 60 men finished.
60 men.
Yeah.
Finished. Wow.
Wow. And then big story, Lisa.
Big story, yeah.
Thank you for sending it.
Sending it, yeah. I honestly, the swim for me was like, I don't know, bumblefuck, because when I started swimming, I couldn't straighten my hands.
Like they were stuck in the claw,
and I was like, well, okay, hold your forearms, I guess. But it was like a clusterfuck on the coming back in, because I couldn't see shit. I was breaststroking, but I was with the group, and we were going so slow. I was with Tamara, I was with Emma Pallant, I was with Danielle Lewis. She had a really good swim, or we're all just like we came out and I was like, well, fuck, like that was bad, guys. But I was convinced that we all missed a turn buoy and that we were getting DQ'd, but I couldn't see anything. I was like, this is fuck.
It was blinding.
Yeah, but I mean we cut it out, and I think you told me I was like seventh or eighth. Like our group was like big. It was a big,
you were in a group of seventh or eighth,
yeah,
with that kind of
overall seventh or eighth, breaststroking in the front pack.
Well, I just thought Lisa had a great swim. She sat with Tamara, and
I was my RPE was probably like a 4 on the way back in, because I was like, I can't fucking see.
It was hard. The sun, when you turn that third turn or whatever, fourth turn, you come right back and look into the sun.
Yeah, it's bad. But anyways, moving on to the bike, I felt, so I think I started maybe around 7th, 8th, like in that area. It was me, Tamara, Danielle Lewis were kind of like the three on the bike that came out. And Emma came out too. So we were with each other. In the first 15 minutes, I was like, hold back. And I was like, oh, I'm barely pedaling. And then Emma took off and I was like, I'm going with Emma. And Emma kept me on a freaking rivet the whole time. I was like, up until the hilly section, she gapped me. But I need Race Ranger, because I give like 30 meters. I'm like so far back and I'm getting no benefit because I'm so paranoid of getting a drafting penalty. But
they weren't giving any penalties.
Yeah. But Grace, so I came off the bike, but Danielle Lewis came back up. Grace, Steck, and I all got off the bike together. So solid. I think I came off the bike in 7th. And then I ran my way into 9th. So I ran my way into 9th, and then Emma got disqualified, we think, in the zone.
The speed zone. There's a 35 mile an hour speed zone for us, which is approximately like what, 1,000 meters or something like that?
Yeah, it's pretty short.
Yeah.
But you have to be, there's a timing mat at the top and the bottom. If you have an average speed over 35, they will DQ, and it happened to like at least 4 that I know of.
But it's labeled. First off, they've told us about 10 times.
Yeah.
That labeled 35 mile an hour speed limit in that area.
There's about 4 speed signs that show your speed.
Yeah. Speed sign. And it's just the average. It's not like you go over 35, it's just the average. So I came in at 37. I just had to make sure that at that next speed sign, I played it safe. If I was at 30, 33 would have been fine, but I was 31.
Yeah, Grace. I was right behind Grace Steck, and I was like, perfect. We're just sitting up, not pedaling, and we're like going like 29 and 30, and I switched on my watch, like my speed too. So I was like, don't.
Yeah,
it's
smart.
It's the only race I'll ever have speed up.
Yeah, Dylan Gillespie just sent it.
Yeah.
He didn't care.
He wanted that KOM segment.
yeah, no, super solid day. Happy to be back racing. The run leaves not a lot to be desired, but like it's very on par with the best runs I've ever done in a 70.3. But to get to the next level, I'm going to have to figure out the run a little bit more. But happy to be mostly healthy, I think, even though
doing workouts for like a month only. So.
I know. Yeah.
Keep doing that.
Longest interval I've done is 5 minutes and run.
Well, your bike's putting you in such a
good 5 minutes. That'd be cool to sweat. 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, and we did a lot of, we did a 5 by 1 minute, 5 by 2 minute, and we built up to 5 by 4 minute. Yeah. And then I did two brick runs that were 15 minutes long.
There we go.
Leave a lot to, you know, a lot of work, but I'm super excited to come away with 8th or 9th. And $1,000
for anybody.
I know, right? I think so. But yeah, super solid day, and stoked to build on this, and stoked to walk away healthy. Yeah.
All right, Mr. Boss Man, tell us about your race.
Yeah, I think I've had kind of shit swims in the past year. So it was nice to not have like any panic to the wetsuit or feeling like I'm not, because I swim well in the pool. The open water has always been a bit of a crux. So following the flow, came out right off the tail of the second pack. So I was in a good spot. I had to like change my bike position on Monday significantly because I'd had some massive hip issues. So thankfully, taking some ibuprofen and calming down all the inflammation, I didn't feel much on the bike in terms of pain. So that was like awesome. No excuses. I was able to push good power, better power than I had on the previous position.
He led a giant freaking group at one point. And it's the U-turn, the only U-turn on the bike. Turn. We're like, not, maybe a minute goes by, and then it's Nick and about 20 dudes.
Yeah.
Throwing those boys.
I think we were like at least third group, and it was probably about 10 or 15 of us at one point. And then we hit the climbs and it broke up. Andre and Joe kind of got away. But it was a big group, and that's where it was frustrating because we had a marshal with us the whole time. And you know, on the climbs, we bunch up, but everywhere else, there shouldn't be an excuse. And I was a little disappointed to see some of the negligence by the referees holding people accountable. But to be said, further on, like once that flat section kicked in, I was able to settle back in, and I broke some people off the group. So I was happy with that, still up the front. And then I thought I was running a lot faster. Like I looked back at my splits, I was like, you know, 6 minute mile, a little bit slower. I was like, I felt like I was going 5:40 pace.
Same thing. I was like, I'm running tall.
Yeah, yeah. I felt so good.
I would agree with you guys too. I was like, everyone says this course is fast.
Like at like the halfway mark, I'm like, this wasn't that fast, but I felt awesome. So I guess feeling is believing, and I just kept with it. But the last three to four K, massive pain in the quad. So a little bit more fitness to be gained for my training situation. 22nd or something, which is for me great against this field. I don't
finishers.
Yeah, I don't have massive expectations for myself like I used to, and I'm just trying to dig to the depths of what I can push myself to. Because you know, as you get older and you've got kids and life changes, you're always like, "What am I doing? I'm leaving everyone. I'm spending all our family money on this stuff." But honestly, like self discovery is the new journey. So if I can get faster and stronger at this. You know, if Braden Curry is like a role model, because I know he's the top, he's a little older than me even. So like watching him go gives me a lot of hope. But I'm happy with my day. I'm happy with the team. I'm happy with our support. I heard my name about 30 times. Chad was getting called out. It was awesome. And just the level of support on this course, I think that's why I love Oceanside as a race course, in spite of the roads, because those were terrible in many, many ways. The run course is truly inspiring. So everything was great. But yeah, Jackson's flying out tonight at midnight and has about 6 obligations. So we're going to cut this now. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for all your support. You can donate to Jackson's personal Patreon in the link, because he's flying all over the country and he's spending all his family's money.
And Jackson Snackson for 10% off.
Jackson has a feed store and a hat that he wears. I don't think I've seen him more than 5 minutes without this hat, just saying.
So it's a new thing.
We had to say that for Simon Whitfield's contractual obligations. But yeah, thanks for everything. And thanks for listening to this episode. Go to Oceanside, or if you see RTS out there, thanks for the love and support. And check our website, join our newsletter. And oh, one more thing before we forget. Tamara had a bit of a tough day, and we know what it's like when that happens, and we're here for her. And if you could support Tamara and send her some love, we'd all appreciate it. So, ready?
Peace out.
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 Canadian. You should be the best at that.
I got ish to do. Flying through the sky in my parachute. Dancing on the couch like I'm Tommy Cruise. On a one-man mission trying to see it through.